broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
You're in the clubhouse. Welcome to the September 8th edition. And Shane Bacon, CBS Sports, will be joining us. I want to just mention we've lost a family member in the golf community. Our thoughts, prayers, and condolences go to Ray Floyd and his family on the loss of his wife, Maria. Cancer is awful. She was too young to go. That from Peter Costas on Twitter. And so many other people have sent their condolences to the Floyd family as well. We're going to have a great show this morning for you with Dr. Deborah Cruz and Rick Fair from the Champions Tour and Craig Sassada, the director of golf at Poipu Bay, and comments from Ryder Cup captain Davis Love III on his captain's picks, and from Steve Stricker and Brent Snedeker and Jim Furyk. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Also brought to you by Discount Furniture Warehouse, offering a wide range of furniture to complement your island lifestyle. 345 North Nimitz Highway, visit HawaiiDiscountFurniture.com. Discount Furniture Warehouse, where the prices are so low, it's insane. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
All righty, now let's get right to it. We're going to have a mostly cloudy day today, numerous showers in the morning, scattered showers in the afternoon. Sounds like the forecast across the country. It's even been raining in Arizona, I think, and in Las Vegas. President Obama stopped by in Vegas last month. It was pouring rain. We need rain. We need rain across the country. It's raining in Kingsmill, where the LPGA is playing. Let's welcome to the show Shane Bacon, CBS Sports. Now, you've come a long way, baby, since I guess you made a big impression with Cars Chasing Dogs, or is it Dogs Chasing Cars? Shane Bacon, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Excellent. When did you start writing for CBS Sports?
I've been with them about 7 months, and you know, it's been great. I mean, it's been great. CBS does a lot with golf, obviously, and the, you know, the Masters and TV and stuff. So it's been fun to be on the writing side of it as well.
Well, you're a great writer. You've been writing your blog for a long time, and you're showing it. Now let's get right into the FedEx Cup. Vijay Singh, is he still in the lead? The last time I checked the leaderboard, he was.
Vijay Singh is still leading. It's a leaderboard that basically, I think somebody wrote yesterday or the day before that there's four, at one point, four world number ones in the top five on the leaderboard right now. So if the PGA Tour won the FedEx Cup to be exciting, they've done a pretty good job of getting all these names in there. But Vijay's leading, and obviously Rory and Tiger are in the hunt, and then Lee Westwood's playing well. I mean, you literally, I don't think you could draw it up any better, you know, if they have to compete or take away from college football or NFL.
Yeah. No, this is working. This FedEx Cup is working. I think we've come to that conclusion. But with Vijay Singh, what's interesting is he's been leading up to the weekend, and then going into the weekend, he kind of fizzles out a little bit. What do you think causes that for him? He's in great shape.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the knock on Vijay in his entire career is the fact that that putter was a little spot. You know, I mean, he always hit the ball as good, if not better, than anybody on tour. I think even Tiger would say in his prime, Vijay hit it just about as good as he did. But, you know, it's just when you start kind of getting shaky with the putter, I saw him hit a couple putts yesterday. I mean, he was knocking flags down all day. But, you know, if you miss a couple five-footers or six-footers, I mean, I think it can really get to you mentally. And I think that's kind of what we've seen on the weekend. I mean, we saw him at the Barclays shoot, you know, 68, 67, and then he couldn't break 75 on the weekend.
So, exactly.
You know, if he keeps making the putts, I mean, I think he can hang around. But, you know, he's 49. I mean, he's missed a lot of putts in his career. I'll tell you, I'm 28, and I start thinking about all the missed putts I've had. So I can't imagine in 20 more years what I'll start thinking.
Dr. Deborah Cruz is going to join us about making those putts under pressure. That's going to be very interesting. But it was just, it's funny how Vijay and Tiger Woods seem to have the weekend blahs, except for last weekend, Tiger came through. And he's looking really good playing with Rory McIlroy. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it couldn't be better for golf right now to have those two guys not only playing together, but they actually seem to enjoy themselves playing together. And I don't know how much of it's a show. I don't know how much of it is for the fans. I don't know if Tiger and Rory actually really, really like each other. But to see Tiger actually do interviews with somebody or smile and laugh right around and then compete. I mean, you know, I think, and I wrote this on Thursday, I really think that Rory brings the best out in Tiger on the golf course, because obviously we've been comparing the two for the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm sure Tiger is excited to get out there and go, you know what, I'm still a pretty good golfer. You know, I can still make birdies too. And I liked the last hole yesterday when Rory hit it in there about 10 feet, Tiger hit it in there about 8 feet, and they both made the putt.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
Tiger still makes me nervous, though. I was watching Rory, and he's like, he's up to the ball, he addresses the ball, he hits the ball goes in the hole. That's what Tiger Woods used to do. Now Tiger gets up to the ball, he addresses the ball, he backs off from the ball, he addresses the ball, he looks a little shaky around the ball, and then he hits the ball, and you go, please go in. It's nerve-wracking watching him. And I can, it's like all of the stuff that's going on, whatever it is inside of him, seems to come through in the television, and maybe that just adds a little bit of something to it. How about the rumor that Rory McIlroy might go to Nike and Tiger's wooing him?
Well, I actually reached out to both companies about it, and obviously both of them said no comment or anything, but I've seen those rumors fly around for a while. I mean, obviously I think Rory is up for a new contract at the end of the year, so who knows? You know, I think that's definitely something that people are spreading around. And, I mean, you know, I mean, if he goes to it, that'd be great. I don't know if necessarily Tiger would be an influence. I think probably the number of money dollars coming in would probably be a little bit bigger. But, you know, it's just good. It's just everything about it's good. I mean, Tiger's never had this with a competitor. I mean, he never did it with Phil. He never did it with BJ. Never did it with Ernie. So to see him kind of out there actually enjoying himself. And like you said, I mean, to make a putt on the last hole, when's the last time he made a clutch putt on 18, which is crazy to think. I mean, he used to always do it. Now he almost always misses those putts, you know, misses it low or makes a bogey on the last hole when he's playing really well. So to see him do that, I think it's going to give him a lot of confidence momentum headed into the end of the day.
It felt like Tiger Woods was passing the baton to Rory McIlroy. That's how it feels. Like, he said something to the effect of, golf is in good hands with Rory McIlroy.
And I think that we want him to be passing the baton, but I almost feel, in my opinion, that it's one of those situations where Tiger's, you know, kind of looking at everybody going, you know, not yet, and I can still play, And, you know, I mean, you know, they're tied after two rounds. I mean, I wrote about it, you know, before the FedEx Cup. You know, we haven't really seen them compete together in a really big event. I mean, we saw him in Dubai, but I mean, see him on this stage, you know, with this amount of money up for grabs, you know, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Tiger Woods or Bill Gates. I mean, $10 million is $10 million. And, you know, to see these guys kind of going at it, and I'm going to be excited to see how they play today and tomorrow. I mean, I think that the FedEx stuff is kind of a big deal. And if nothing else, you know, Tiger wins this week and wins next week, he could maybe steal the Player of the Year award away from Rory. So there is a lot of stuff at stake.
There is a lot of stuff. The passing of the baton, I think, is interesting because a lot of people are Tiger Woods fans. They're Tiger Woods watchers, and they still want Tiger Woods to recapture the magic of yesteryear. In the end, they don't really want to take away. They don't want to give that feeling to Rory yet. It's like they're just holding on to that, I wish Tiger would come back and reclaim the dominance. But Tiger's like saying, oh, it's okay to like Rory. It's okay. I like him. See, I'm smiling with him. He's a great guy. I think there's just a lot of stuff going on while these two guys are chit-chatting and seeming to have a really good time. They must be. I mean, they couldn't be playing as well as they are. Now, how about this interloper, Ryan Moore? Tell us about Ryan Moore.
Well, you know, speaking of Tiger, you know, obviously coming up at the amateur race, I mean, I think Ryan Moore is as talented and as decorated as an amateur that we've seen since Tiger. I mean, he won three or four of the biggest tournaments in the same year before turning pro. And then he struggled a little bit as a pro. It took him a while. You know, he has one win. But, you know, he's a really good player, obviously. I mean, he was kind of the it kid coming up, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And, you know, I mean, he's kind of got a weird swing. He's kind of a weird guy, you know, and I don't think you'd get mad if you said that. I mean, he didn't have a sponsor for about 2 years. He really kind of invests his money into his sponsorship. He did it with Scratch Golf. He did it with True Links, where the shoes that he wears. But yeah, I mean, really solid player. Hits the ball incredibly well. And you know, I think this is kind of one of those tournaments. He won this tournament with this leaderboard. I think he's the kind of player you could see win maybe two or three times next season.
Yeah. No, and he came up last weekend. He was there in the mix as well last weekend. He just didn't close. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. Soon you'll know. He shot a 62, didn't he, in the opening round last weekend?
He did.
And here he is coming into the weekend strong. He's been starting strong, and now he's coming into the weekend strong. He's going to be somebody to watch. Graham McDowell had a very interesting experience in the bunker, and we're going to talk about one of these rules violations that you just got to go, huh? We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Next weekend, the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship will be held at Kapolei, a 54-hole stroke play event with the likes of Fred Couples, Greg Norman, Corey Pavin, the 2010 Ryder Cup captain, Nick Price, David Ishii, Bernard Langer, Gary McCord. Yes, he'll be playing. Tom Lehman, Hale Irwin, Craig Stadler. Huge, huge field. A qualifier. The Hawaii qualifier is Monday. We've got tickets for you to win. All you have to do is call us at 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. Talking with Shane Bacon, CBS Sports. Now, this is one of those rules that, you know, if they're going to ban the belly putter, the long stick, sometime this fall, they should really take up it. Shane Bacon, CBS Sports, if that leaf in that bunker that he hit in his backswing, he hit it in his backswing, right?
Well, he was talking, supposedly talking to his caddy, and his caddy said, you know, make sure you don't touch that or don't move that. And it was one of those things. He's like, yeah, no problem. And he hit it. Kind of almost a very similar situation to the Carl Peterson deal. The rules of golf are one of those things. And I made a comparison of this. Years ago in the NBA playoffs, they have a rule if you get on the court that you get suspended for a game no matter what. If there's a fight and you run on the court and one of the players put one foot on the court and he got suspended, it's the same thing. He's not participating in that. Him hitting the leaf isn't. The penalty is you're testing your conditions. He hits the leaf, that's not testing your conditions, yet he gets penalized for it. So it's just a weird rule. You know, I mean, you play golf. We all play golf. There's a lot of weird rules out there. But, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. I did laugh. Jeff Shackelford wrote something. I think this is like his McDowell's third penalty of the year. He's like, yeah. Maybe somebody needs to spend the offseason reading the rules of golf.
Well, yeah, but if that had been a soda can or a cigarette butt or something else like that, he would have been able to move it.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's kind of the iffy area. You know, that's the weird part.
That's the weird part.
It's just a leak. You know, it's just in the hazard. You know, it was an unfortunate situation. The thing was, too, the crazy part is he shoots 66. So he gets a two-shot penalty and he shoots 68. You know, it really, really takes him from, you know, in the top five of the leaderboard to just being another round of golf.
And he needs this. I mean, if he wants to be in the Tour Championship next weekend, he's got to come up into the top 30.
Absolutely. And you know, and he's bounced back. And I mean, there's not a better guy on tour than Graham McDowell. And the way he handled these kind of things is incredible. And he should actually teach some seminar to some of the guys on tour of how to handle the media and everything like that. But, yeah, it was a bummer. I hate to see guys like him especially have this kind of stuff happen to him. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. You have penalty and golf, you just kind of got to bounce back.
He does. He's tied for ninth. He is, like, 36th in the points right now, FedEx points. So he's got to come up. He's got to have a strong finish, and somebody's got to fall down. And I hope because I love watching him. He's a great player. The FedEx Cup, now let's move to the Ryder Cup. What did you think of Davis Love III's picks? And congratulations, Herb, Hawaii Kai. You have won the two tickets. You'll be picking them up at Will Call. This is for the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship next weekend. Starts this coming week. Shane Bacon, your thoughts on the picks, the Davis Love III picks?
Well, I mean, he picked who I thought he was going to pick. You know, I've heard a lot of people say Furyk might not have deserved to be there, or Hunter Mahan deserved to be there. The bottom line is, yeah, Mahan won twice, but he just didn't play very well at the end of the season. You know, I mean, you want to have guys going into it that are playing solid golf. He obviously, I mean, he played pretty abysmal, I mean, the last month or so. And, I mean, I know Furyk has a terrible Ryder Cup record, but, I mean, you need a couple of veterans on the team, especially when one of your captain's picks is a rookie like Brent Snedeker, who I think deserved to be there. So I was 100% behind it. I thought that's who he was going to go with. I wrote before he picked that I thought that those are the four. And so, pretty standard, if you ask me. I mean, it's probably who most people would have picked if they'd have picked four guys.
I want to listen to Brent Snedeker. Furyk and Stricker, you considered locks because of their experience. Furyk did do a good job in the President's Cup. He was amazing. Johnson's been hot, and most people thought he would be picked. So Snedeker talks here about his reaction to getting that captain's pick and the phone call.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. You know, I didn't have any clue, really. You know, people kept telling me I thought I would know something, but I hadn't. Davis played it very close to the vest. I had no clue one way or the other. And got off the plane when I got here to Indianapolis and had a voicemail from Davis just asking if I brought my putter from Boston, if I wanted to be on the team. And just so excited when I got here and couldn't hardly sleep last night. I was so excited. Still excited this morning, as you can tell by the way I'm talking. A huge thing for my career. You know, the last 2 years, I've really tried hard to make this team. To accomplish that is a very humbling thing, but it's also, you've got a lot of work to do now. You know, now we're on a team, we got to make sure that we play well and try to keep that cup in the U.S.
Wow, I can't imagine getting a voicemail. Did you bring your putter? You're on the team. So now the work does begin, and the idea of... It was interesting listening to Davis Love III talking about how he had to think about how he was going to pair up these guys against the team, the Euro team.
Well, first, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I couldn't imagine getting a phone call to say you're on the Ryder Cup. It's got to be like the best thing in the world. I remember the story of when Steve Williams got called to caddy for Tiger Woods and he thought it was a prank call. I always thought that was pretty funny. But, the team is, this is the first time in probably what? Four or five Ryder Cups that the American team is probably better on paper. I think Snedeker paired with somebody like Zach Johnson or even Steve Stricker is going to be one of those things that doesn't matter that he's a rookie. You know, I mean, I think the fact that he can putt so well and he seems to be a pretty calm guy, I think will benefit him a lot. But, there seems to be some pretty natural pairings in the Ryder Cup. I mean, Tiger, Stricker, I think Mickelson and Keegan Bradley will be a team you see a couple of times. Obviously, they can throw Bubba with any of his little buddies on the team, so... I'm excited. I think the Americans have a really good chance of winning this thing, and I think Snedeker and Dustin Johnson are just good additions.
When I was listening, I think it was Doug Ferguson who pointed out from the Associated Press that 24 of the guys on the Euro and U.S. teams, all 24, are in the top 36 in the world golf rankings.
And you look at the thing, and I mean, there's few names when you think about golf right now that aren't going to be there. I mean, granted, the Australians have had a really bad year in golf, and obviously, normally those guys are there. But you got Rory, you got Tiger, you got Lee Westwood, you got Luke Donald. I mean, there's a lot of the big names in golf. that are all going to be at this thing. I think it's going to be great. I mean, I'm excited to watch it. I'm definitely excited that it's at a course like Madonna. I'm just hoping it's in good enough shape to have it there.
Why do you say that?
Well, there've been some talk and some stuff about it not being in as good a shape as they thought it was going to be, and word that they're bringing in all this sod and stuff to fix some holes and stuff. So, you know, hopefully, like you said, all the rain that's going across the continental U.S. right now, hopefully they're getting some there in Chicago.
Yeah, okay. They're wanting rain in Kings Mill. They got a lot of rain there, too. I think there was a rain delay. Paula Creamer, interesting to watch what's going on at Kings Mill. And they're back. I think they're going to hold it. It's on Bermuda grass, which is weird for everybody because it's been played in May. I think next year Kings Mill will be back in May schedule. Not sure. Not privy to these things. But Paula Creamer and Dewey Claire Schrieffel, isn't she the first Dane on the LPGA Tour?
Absolutely.
And they're like shooting, they're neck and neck, 13 under. For a while, Paula was in the lead. Dewey had the lead going into today, I believe it is. And Stacey Lewis is there. She's dangerous. Danielle Kang, Azahara Munoz, G.A. Shin. Really great leaderboard for the LPGA Tour as well. Michelle Wee. God, she's having a bad year. Putting, she can't putt. She can't putt. She can't putt. I don't know what she's going to do.
Well, you know, I feel so bad for Michelle. I mean, she's so nice. She tries so hard. You know, she really puts herself out there. And you know, she is literally still the name of the LPGA. I mean, you know, there's a lot of great players, but, you know, the casual golf fan still remembers Michelle Wee, and that's it. So you kind of feel bad for her. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, she can't hold a putt.
It was
just the ball, but
yesterday she had this. She had a long putt. She came really close. She had a 3-footer. It looked like maybe, you know, just boom in, and she missed. It's and she was like shaking her head, and you could just feel, yo, I don't know. She really held it together well. I was proud of how she composed herself, but that can't be easy. She shot a 71, 75, 71, but she missed the cut, the ninth one this season. And I wrote earlier this year that I'm giving her until the end of the year, beginning of next year, and I've pretty much, you know, don't figure. I hope she makes it into the Solheim Cup, because she does bring all of that pizzazz to the Solheim Cup. It'd be a real shame if she didn't make it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've got something cool that you found, and I like this. I want to just mention it. The Ion Golf Equipment Tin Cup Ball Marking Stencil. This is good. College football season, and you can, get a stencil and have it put on your stencil, your team on the golf ball?
Yeah, I've been doing it, actually. I went to the University of Arizona, and I've been kind of stenciling my little A on all my golf balls when I play. It's kind of an easy way to mark it, and it actually looks like you kind of almost bottom with a stamp on there. They do kind of a cool job. You know, anybody that likes, I feel like college football alumni love putting stuff like that on their golf bags anyway, so it's just another way to do it.
It's cool. It's like Duffy Waldorf. He was on the show last weekend writing all his little messages on his golf ball. You can have your favorite team on your golf ball. Just go to, I think it's tincup.com and tin/cup.com. Fun stuff. Shane Bacon, always fun to talk with you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. CBS Sports, Shane Bacon. You'll find him online. And we'll talk again soon. Look at that. We've managed to speak three times. Usually we did the first of the year show together. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Hi, my name is Danielle Tucker. You're in the clubhouse. Faulty visual perception. It's more often the cause of missed putts than faulty stroke mechanics. Seriously, some argue that 9 out of 10 putting errors are the result of aiming your putter face poorly. Having a sound stroke but sending the ball off in the wrong direction is hardly effective. So you know that eyes are important, not only to how you see and every day and how you read, but in how you play the game of golf. And taking care of your eyes is very important. That's why we have Dr. Melanie Tantazera right in the house with us to talk about that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
You know, I hear about cataracts and cataract surgery. When does cataracts, how does that happen? What are they?
Oh, that's a great question. Cataracts. Well, everyone has a lens inside the eyes, okay? So when I think of the eyes, I think of a camera, and we need a film in the back, which is the retina, to take the images, and we need a lens in the front to focus the images. So our lens becomes cloudy and makes it difficult to see through. So say it turns brown or white, and that becomes a cataract. So it is a natural part of aging. It is the normal part of your eye becoming cloudy. That's your cataract.
Wow. When does that, does that happen to everyone? And if it does happen to you, when does it happen?
That's a great question, too. I've had cataracts in patients as young as 20s. Okay, it's not normal to develop them in your 20s, and actually there are even babies who are born with them, so there are congenital cataracts, but normally we start to see some signs of cataracts by, say, 50s to 60s, and it develops more and more as people get older, and sometimes it's accelerated by UV exposure, by certain diseases, and lifestyle. But it happens pretty much in anyone who lives long enough.
Okay. Now, is there something I can do to stop it? You said UV exposure. Protecting the eyes from the sun?
That's right. That's one of the big ones. Wearing UV protected sunglasses or even regular glasses with a clear coating that has a UV film on them. Yes, that's one way.
Okay. And you also mentioned that you have the lenses that are special for golfers, prescription lenses, but also transition lenses.
Yes. Those have UV protection built into them. Exactly.
Excellent.
Those are good ways of helping prevent cataracts.
From developing. Okay. And now let's say you've got cataracts or they're starting and they're starting to affect your vision. What do I do about them?
Okay. Once you have the cataract, then, you as a patient have to decide, does this bother me enough that I want to have surgery? Okay. And many times the answer is yes. It's a very successful surgery. It's the most widely performed surgery in the United States. So, obviously, there has been a lot of experience with doing it. But I tell patients, okay, you have to decide because there's still a small amount of risk. Okay, so don't just say, oh, yeah, it's bothering me. Okay, I'm going to go. Like, it's not like getting a manicure, you know?
Right. You have to know what you're going to be taking on here.
Right.
Right.
But if it's bothering you, then, yeah, it's probably worth doing. And it is a same-day surgery. It's something where you go in and you get out right away and you go home, put in some drops. So as long as everything goes well, which it does almost all the time, then you're going to have a very easy time of it. You could be back golfing within the next couple of days.
Wow, that's amazing. Cataract right. surgery one day and golfing in a couple of days.
Right.
Now, what about this this new procedure? It has to do with, I guess, refractive clear lensectomy?
Oh, wow. You say that so well, Danielle.
Well, I've been practicing.
It is pretty much a cataract surgery without having the cataract. It's the same thing. Remember I was telling you that the lens is in the front of the eye and it's focusing on the back of the eye?
Yes.
Well, when we take out your natural lens, if the lens is of the wrong power, so you've been having to wear glasses or contact lenses, we can change that lens power. It's our chance. It's our one chance to just go ahead and change out that lens and put in a different power so that you don't need to wear glasses or contact lenses anymore.
So if I've got a cataract and I have to go have cataract surgery,
right,
because it's such a bother to me, I could have this new lens put into my eye and I wouldn't have to wear glasses.
Yeah, at least for distance. And there are also modern lenses that either can flex or that have multiple focal powers so that many patients can opt for these lenses that can also allow them to read.
Wow.
So, yes, it's your chance to change your lens power completely and allow you better vision than you've had for a very long time, say since before your 40s.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, it's not wonderful to get cataracts, but it's wonderful to have that option to have not only the cataract removed, but then the lens completely changed.
Right. And so then when you do this refractive clear lensectomy, you're opting to have those changes done before you have a cataract, because you can do these things with your refraction.
Excellent. You do this?
Yes, I do.
Okay, this is Dr. Melanie Tantazera, ophthalmologist, board certified. She's right here in Honolulu on South King Street, 1010 South King, across from McKinley High School. You can check her out at truevisioncenterhawaii.com, and you can call her at 808-591-9111. Excellent having you in the clubhouse. We're going to talk some more with Dr. Melanie Tantazera. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store, if you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right, Dr. Deborah Cruz, PhD, Performance Mind Management, 2011 Ellen Griffin Rolex Award recipient. Dr. Deborah Cruz, a sports psychology consultant for Arizona State University men's and women's golf team, Class A LPGA club professional member, LPGA National Education and Research Board member, top 50 female golf instructors by Golf Digest, number 8 on that list. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cruz. Can I call you Debbie?
You bet.
You know,
that's much better.
We talked years ago, I think it was 2004, when you were working with the Mayo Clinic on the yips. That was...
Oh, that's right.
That was a long time ago, and I've been... And now I know why it's so hard to get in touch with you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're traveling around the world. You're working with horses. This is... You're making people... I need to find out about this equine research, but what did you find out? Did the yips research you did at the Mayo Clinic work into this... This studying that you're doing with the brain and how it reacts to pressure?
Yes, that's actually stem from there because I had done some work with choking before, and then the yips being a little more of a neurologic condition kind of is at the other end of the continuum. So you have choking or, you know, the psychological pressure and problems at one end, and then you have yips at the other end. And so that's how I got involved in that project and studying the brain, and we're still working on it. We've done additional studies since then with Mayo Clinic, and we're proposing another one.
Wow.
So, yes, it's a fascinating condition.
Well, it is, because when I was looking at what you talked about, I said, what is your passion right now? And you said synchronicity.
And oh, yes.
Other people call it, and I hear you don't like this, the zone, going into the zone.
Well, there's a lot of different probably connotations or definitions of zone. So so it's hard to understand maybe, I think, what specifically is the definition. But everybody knows what it feels like.
Yes, when you're totally not thinking and you're just doing it and it's all working perfectly, you're not thinking.
Yes, but I do think that is synchronicity in the brain, having tested it for a lot of years, and I'm just reluctant to call it the zone, but when people get in that optimal state and everything is flowing so beautifully, you know, it makes perfect sense that the brain is synchronized because it's running the show, and it's the first thing that happens is, you know, the programming in the brain, and then it goes to the muscles and the motion and then to the ball and then to the target, hopefully.
Well, how do we get into synchronicity?
It is a matter of having an awareness of where you typically are, I think, which is the easy explanation would be left-sided versus right-sided. And if you tend to be more left-sided, which is most adults, and most children are more right-sided in their brain orientation, but it would be a matter of balancing that out. So the way we do that for adults is to have them do most of their left-sided activities behind the ball, so that as they get over the ball and closer to motion, they actually move more to the right hemisphere, and they can use thoughts and cues to help them move over that way. And that's what creates the balance, synchronicity, and the...
Well, let's kind of explain what that left side, right side means. So we start off as children being right-sided. What do you mean by that?
Okay, the right side of the brain is responsible for our creativeness, our imagery, most of our automatic responses and processes in the body. It sees things as whole. The left side of the brain is more our analytical, logical side. It sees things in sequence. It sees things in parts. And both sides are very important in the process of performance. But it's not successful to be doing a lot of left-sided activities over the ball and as you're swinging.
Because you're thinking too much, you're analyzing what you're doing, and you're in the process of telling yourself what to do rather than being creative and just doing?
Correct. Once it's programmed and the motor program is set to go, the additional information we're giving or the additional instructions are really just interfering. Because once the motor program in the brain is set, then it's a matter of going to more automatic processes, which is the zone. And in essence, you get out of thinking and you get into feeling. And feeling is fine because that's going to be more a right hemisphere activity.
You were asked, I think it was Dateline, asked you to do some research when Greg Norman was seen choking at a very critical moment on a golf course. Now, we've been watching Tiger Woods, quote-unquote, choking. Michelle Wee.
Yes.
All of these people. What did you find out in that research that you did on the choking?
It was very interesting. When we set up studies like that, either distraction studies or choking studies with lots of pressure, about 50% of the people tend to fall apart and about 50% do not. And the interesting thing, what's the difference between the two? And one difference we find, probably more for your day-to-day golfers, is that the people who do not choke have had experiences. It doesn't have to be in golf, but they've had experiences in their life that have that have taught them to be able to manage more pressure. So it could be in your job. It could be in performing in music or another area. Because our in that study you're talking about, the NPC study, we had athletes. One of our college students was going to the Rose Bowl in 2 weeks. He was a football player. We had two minor league baseball players and a soccer player that didn't choke. So what they did is they took their experience of managing pressure from other areas, they knew how to do it, and applied it in their golf situation, and they performed very well. The ones that did choke, they tended to tell us that they scored lower, which was really interesting. So they had probably more expectations in there. And then they were not able to achieve that synchrony or quiet the left side of their brain.
Okay. So the guy who's running to the fire to put it out, he's not going to choke.
Probably not.
Because he's in that moment of just doing rather than thinking about what he's going to do.
That's exactly right.
Interesting. Okay, so how we need to approach, because as you said, it's very difficult to recreate competition.
Yes, and, you know, I found in the lab, we don't need to create the same level of pressure to be able to practice managing it. What I see is all their behaviors and tendencies will happen at a lower level. So I usually can observe and see what gets off or out of sync, you know, by observing. And if the golfer is pretty aware of themselves, they'll also pick up little hesitations in their routine or added looks and things that they'll change when they're under pressure. The key is for them to practice. Make sure they practice with pressure, with, you know, 3 out of 5s or, you know, bet pennies against somebody. Put stories on your practice, because every shot on the golf course has a story with it. So you practice with stories, and then you get better at it.
So if you create a situation, let's say Tiger Woods gets somebody like his dad who used to stand over him while he was putting and try to distract him, he needs somebody of that level of intensity that he respects at that level standing around him. Go ahead.
Yes, the more pressure, the better. If you can practice with that, then your system learns to manage it and maintain that synchrony.
I like the way you take from the laboratory and put into seminars and into practice where people can come and learn with you. You have several, the golf, energy, and motion. Imagine that, the imagery. The horses and courses golf seminar. Can we start with your golf energy in motion? You wrote a book?
Yes, that was in 2006, and it really came from seminars, because I had been doing seminars for years, and I thought I probably would benefit the readers to be able to have it all in one place in a book. So I put that book together, and it's been helpful to reference. It kind of just provides the basic concepts, and so we can spend less time going over all the concepts and just apply them, you know, then when I work with people.
Yeah, you can find all of this information, performancemindmanagement.com, written out exactly as it is, performancemindmanagement.com. If someone's interested in doing one of the seminars, should they just get in touch with you and find out when you're having one?
Yes, we're just putting together a schedule, actually, for this coming year, and so that they can contact me directly, and I'd be happy to send them the information.
Excellent. The 3-day golf seminar that you're putting on, that you put together on the golf energy and motion, what is your idea? What is your goal in that 3 days, and how do you set that up?
That's a very good question. The goal is always two things. One is that when players come to a seminar, they walk away with something they can actually do that day, that afternoon, that will make a difference and probably take at least 2 strokes off their game.
Mm.
Because there's all the little things that are so important from a mental perspective. And they're simple things, but they make a huge difference in performance. And the other goal is that when they walk away from the seminar, they might have a new set of glasses on. They may be able to look at the game a little bit differently than what they had in the past. So they have a new way of approaching the game or the situation that causes them, you know, some challenge. And that in and of itself is extremely important for helping the doing part of it. So we're working with the doing part of the game and who they're being while they perform.
Who they're being while they perform.
The being part is extremely important. It's their image of themselves as a golfer, and it's their beliefs about where they want to go, what they want to accomplish.
So that's what you mean by teaching you how to be in charge of your own game on the course.
Yes, and it was a very good choice of words, being in charge of your game.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just course management. This is... course manager, right? I mean,
yeah, and most players are trying out there trying to control everything, and it isn't about controlling it; it's about being in charge, because they're not the same.
Wow. Okay. Now another one is imagine that.
Oh, that was a fun seminar we put together with. I've done it a couple times with different athletes from different sports, actually, because it's all about the power of imagery. And it is one of the most powerful techniques we have to change performance because it incorporates all the senses. So we do little games and activities to enhance imagery and show how it can be used to for each of the players to change their game.
Danny Orr, who's a baseball player, a golfer, and he has a great app for helping you with putting. Then there's also Kristen Sunderhaft, who's an LPGA teaching professional. Both of them told me about you, and I went, that's, yeah, the yips lady. Who's going to teach us what not to do? Yes, you can get better. So how did you use these athletes in, like Danny Orr, how did you use him in the seminar to show somebody participating what to do? I mean, he's a high-level athlete.
Yes, they were all high-level athletes. One was an archer who had gone to the Olympics. Two others were on the LPGA or the PGA Tour. And they pretty much shared their experiences on the tour or on the professional circuit and how they specifically use imagery to prepare. One aspect is in preparation and one aspect is in performance. And then we had question and answer afterwards, so the questions, you know, were very broad. But you know, performing under pressure is a big topic and an important topic. And it doesn't have to be at that level. It can be the weekend player coming in with their very best score ever, you know, and how do they manage finishing that 18th putt and getting it in the hole. So everybody can learn from players of all levels.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's the application I was talking about is See It Golf, and I think Aaron Baddeley uses that, and Stan Utley is involved too. So it's a really good app. You can put it on your phone. And the latest research from Arizona State University said you've got to talk with Dr. Debbie Cruz. So here we are. And then you tell me that you've got, yeah, my love's horses. Okay.
Oh, you do?
I love horses. I raised several. Yes, and
wow.
Trained one, and that was interesting. He was my baby. You know, how do you you train your baby?
Yeah.
He's now over 1,000 pounds.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting relationship that you develop with horses, and you have this horses and courses golf seminar, a golf seminar to learn confidence. And, okay, I get that part, but
right. Eliminating
questions over the ball, how is a horse going to help me do that?
Well, you can't lie to a horse. I'm sure you know that one. So if you're not in that place, you know, whether it's if you have a little self-doubt in your mind or negative thinking of any kind, or even you just lose your focus of attention, that horse is going to pick it up. And then they won't respond and do what you ask them to do or are working with them to do. So the horse then trains you to get in this very good, strong state of mind, and then the horse will do anything you ask. We don't need a halter and a rope by the time we're done. We don't need any of that. They pretty much can almost listen to your thoughts and follow you. Uh-huh. And it doesn't matter if these people are horse people or not. I've had people who have never been around horses come and do the seminar, and they manage some of my most challenging horses very well. And it is really about their presence, their state of mind.
So you're telling me that I can talk to that golf ball like I can talk to a horse?
Well, you got the association exactly right. By the time we leave the seminar, the message is that the ball is the horse.
Yeah, I understand exactly where you're going with this. I can feel it.
Yep, and the ball will follow. It always will follow if you are in charge.
Wow. Okay.
It's a fun seminar. I never know what's coming when we have people in. The horses love it. I have draft horses. They're the 2,000-pound horses.
Yeah.
So they can infer enough challenge, you know, and to the players but they're also gentle giants. So.
Oh, yeah. I just love it when they know you're not paying attention. They'll lean on you.
That's exactly right. They want a little attention.
You know, you get 2,000 pounds of leaning on you. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Yep.
And go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that's fine. They'll always let you know.
Yeah.
But they're mirrors. They're mirrors of your emotions. So that's why they work so well as therapists, is because, they tell me more about the golfers than I could ever pick up with a questionnaire or some other way.
It's really important what you just said, because a lot of people are afraid of horses. And it's that fear that the horse is picking up and mirroring it back to the person. So, if you walk up to a horse, you have to understand how to approach, of course, because they're spooked like any other creature. You don't just jump on a dog or a cat, you know.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, I would love to be in one of your seminars, especially the horses one, can you tell?
Yeah, please come over.
That would be great. This is Dr. Deborah Cruz, performancemindmanagement.com. The last time we tried to connect, you were coming back from Asia?
Oh, yes, I was in Korea.
And you were doing something work-related?
I work with the LCGA Teaching and Club Profession Division, and I help with the teacher training, and we have conducted our very first international training program in Seoul. And so we were training the teachers to teach over there, and it was excellent. I'm actually going back again now this October.
Exciting. It must be interesting being in Korea because of the way they teach. It's so completely different than, I mean, a lot of it's indoors, isn't it? They don't have the space, the golf courses that we do?
Yes, but they produce, the top players in the world.
Yes.
That's what's so fascinating.
Yes. Well, congratulations. I wanted to talk to you for so long, and your 2011 Ellen Griffin Rolex Award.
Wonderful.
And thank you for being on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Well, I'll look for you at the Horses and Courses Seminar.
I will be in touch.
All right.
All right. Aloha.
Thanks so much, Danielle.
You're welcome. Dr. Deborah Cruz, performancemindmanagement.com. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Let's see. 40 yards to the pin. Wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. The Pacific Links Hawaii Challenge Championship staged this coming week. That's right. We were going to talk with Rick Fair, trying to give him a call right now to see if we can get him onto the show. Very interesting man, not only a winner on the PGA Tour, this will be his first event on the Champions Tour. And he's spent a lot of time, a lot of his career, not only playing golf, but also managing wealth. I think it's a great combination, and one I wanted to talk with Mr. Fair about and coming to Hawaii for his first event on the Champions Tour. But let's shift our focus to the Ryder Cup while we see if we can't get in touch with Rick Fair. Steve Stricker and Jim Furyk were pretty much considered shoo-ins on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. I mean, a lot of people wondered why. Because they're old, they should have more youngsters in so they get more experience and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is Jim Furyk and Steve Stricker are on the team because of their experience, and both on the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, President's Cup team. So Captain Davis Love said when he was talking during the news conference when he announced the picks that he had with Brant Snedeker and Dustin Johnson. I like how he did that by height. I thought, Dustin Johnson gets picked first. That's interesting. Okay. Then he explained by height. I went, oh, I get it. Well, Captain Love said that Tom Kite was important to him during his first Ryder Cup experience. And he said that putting the rookies in with an experienced player was the best education, the most calming influence you could give a first-timer. Makes complete sense to me. You can talk to somebody until you're blue in the face. Until they get the experience, they're not going to feel it. So Steve Stricker was asked who that person was for him. Now remember, Stricker didn't start into the Ryder Cup experience until in his late 30s, early 40s. This is what he had to say.
You know, I started making these teams when I was in my either 39 or 40th birthday, so I guess I was a little older than normal than some of the other guys. And being able to spend some time with Tiger out there, a guy who's had a tremendous amount of history in the Ryder Cups and President's Cups, you know, has meant a lot too. He's been a pretty calming influence on me out there. And but you know, really going back to Wales with Davis, the captain, you know, he took me under his hand, you know, for that initial match out on I guess it would have been Monday, our finals, the singles day, and they put the trust in me to kind of lead the team out there in the singles, and you know, he was right there in my back pocket all the way, so he's given me a lot of confidence and calming influence along the way as well. So yeah, it's important to get that from a multitude of players, because it's a nerve-wracking situation, and you want to be prepared. And there's guys that, you know, obviously older guys, they got to step up and help some of these younger players deal with that situation.
I thought what was most interesting is when he said Tiger Woods. You know, usually people talk about how much Steve Stricker gives to Tiger in the form of putting tips and what have you. I did not expect him to say that Tiger Woods was the calming influence that he needed to be comfortable on the Ryder Cup team. And it was kind of cool. Now I understand better the bond that the two of them have. It makes much more sense. Captain Love was also talking about his picks on Tuesday of this week, in order of height again: Dustin Johnson, Jim Furyk, Brant Snedeker, Steve Stricker. And he was asked if he has given any thought to the pairings, you know, with the Euro team and with his own team, of course, and how he'll match up that U.S. team versus the European team.
Oh, yeah, we've been thinking about pairings. We're thinking about it. We're basing, you know, our picks on pairings. Yeah, you got to start thinking about it. I think we want our guys to know generally who they might be playing with, because, you know, they're getting ready to go play two big weeks of golf, and they're going to be playing together, and they're going to be hanging out together. And we want them talking about it. We want them starting to match up, you know, pulling this team together. It's tough in golf. It's not like USA basketball, who got to travel a bunch together and play a whole bunch of games before they got to the Olympics. We're going to all show up Sunday night, Monday morning, and have to go get it. So I want them thinking about it going in. The European team is obviously great. They're playing well. Jose Maria, like me, had a tough choice, and he did a great job. And, you know, I know they're going to be tough. They are every year. But I can tell you this, I love my team. I'm excited about my team, and I can't wait to see how it matches up. You know, we put our four out there, and they put their four out there. You never know what's going to happen, but it's going to be exciting for sure.
Yeah. 24 players, and they're all in the top 36 world golf rankings. I was wondering, you know, what are we going to do in October? Oh, we've got the Grand Slam of Golf. That's right. Of course, Rory can't be there because he made a commitment to be overseas. And, all right, okay, that's okay. But we know about that, those kinds of experiences here in Hawaii when the Grand Slam of Golf was played at Poipu Bay Golf Course. And joining us now, the director of golf at Poipu Bay, Craig Sasada. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Hi, good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. You must be, let me just say that Craig Sasada is a huge Tiger Woods fan, and he and many of us in Hawaii are. Rory McIlroy is, you know, making inroads, I think, with people. How do you feel about Rory McIlroy now that you see Rory and Tiger Woods doing news conferences together?
Well, I think like they said, it's probably one of the first times that Tiger ever shared an interview session. So I guess it's a little change on Tiger's part, but, you know, it's hopefully they can continue this on for the next few years because it's, you know, it's something that they always thought that Phil and Tiger would be doing, but it looks like Rory is probably taking up the challenge to do this. So if Tiger, you know, can keep his game going, I think it's going to be a good thing in the years to come.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. They want this rivalry. Everybody was trying to fabricate a rivalry. I don't know, maybe there was a rivalry between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. You know, oh, the rivalry. well, there's not going to be a rivalry if these guys are walking around smiling at each other. But can there be a rivalry in golf where you like one another, but on the course you want to beat them? Of course you do, right? You want to beat the course, you want to win the event.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, because, you know, you can go back to when the age difference is pretty close to what Nicklaus and Watson used to be. So, you know, I think they're good friends now, and I think they were always good friends. But, you know, on the golf course, people watched because Watson was the young upstart, I guess, and Nicklaus was the so-called dynasty there. And, you know, he beat Jack every once in a while on his terms, and, you know, it looks like Rory's doing the same thing, so... I think it's just good for golf, you know, with Tiger being there, getting his game back, and Rory surging, so it's good for everyone concerned to me.
To me, too. And I don't think golf can be compared to other sports where you have true rivalries, team rivalries, where, you know, the two squads are up against one another, and they don't like each other, and you know, there is in Utah, there Utah State and University of Utah, and they really both hate BYU. So they kind of are more gentle with each other on the field so that they can both beat up BYU. We don't have that sort of thing going on in golf. In golf, it's different. You can be gentlemen off the course. You can even smile with each other and talk with each other in a news conference. But you talk with your six, right?
You know, yeah, you know, the reason why golf probably is so different, you know, obviously it's not a contact sport or anything like that, but you have no control over the other person's game, and it's on what you do only versus what the other guy does.
So exactly.
If you only can do your best and you did your best, there's not much else you can do.
And it's not the, you know, it's not up to the other guy to mess you up.
Right.
I mean, when we start tripping each other, then it will become very different. Hockey golf.
Right.
Yeah. Rick Fair is coming over to Hawaii. He's on the Champions Tour. It's his first time on the Champions Tour. He's calling in right now. Do you mind?
Oh, no. I'd be happy to.
Yeah. That's. Sure. I thought you'd like to hear what he had to say. Let's welcome to the show, Rick Fair. Welcome to the golf club.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Excellent, sir. How often have you been to Hawaii?
Oh, let's see. Oh, probably half a dozen times.
Okay, so a frequent visitor then.
Yes, absolutely. Back in my younger days, played in the Hawaiian Open over there at Wailea.
At Wailea? Have you played Kapolei?
I have not. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful course. It's very well maintained, of course. And this September 10th to the 16th, the 54-hole stroke play event takes place on Oahu at Kapolei Golf Course. And we're just thrilled. The field is amazing. And this will be your first event on the Champions Tour?
It will. I had the long-awaited 50th birthday about 10 days ago, so I'm now eligible, and I'm looking forward to competing. And it's, in effect, a big reunion for guys like me, obviously getting back together with guys I've played with and against, you know, for 15, 20 years back on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, two-time PGA Tour champion, 1986 BC Open, 1994 Walt Disney World Oldsmobile Classic, beat Craig Stadler, who'll be here, and Fuzzy Zoeller by two strokes. Career earnings on course, $4,018,239, lowest score, 62. By the way, All-American at BYU. I wasn't thinking about you. It just kind of came up when we were talking. I don't know if you heard when you were on hold.
Yeah, I was paying attention. Yeah. I was. Well, let me explain. I completely understand that. We were not popular. Not just we weren't even liked in New Mexico when we played there back in the Western Athletic Conference days. And so I completely understand it.
You guys always beat us up. BYU always takes Hawaii out to lunch. I mean, whatever.
Leaves us in the desert. And I know. I think things have leveled off a bit, you know, over the years. But back, you know, gosh, I was there in the early 1980s, and BYU was let's say adequately funded in the athletic department. So we had no disadvantages, and I'm not LDS, and so I just was there, you know, for the athletic side of it. So I think I had a perspective where I could see the look from the outside as well. So no, I understand, and those rivalries don't continue with all the shifts and changes in conferences and that.
Yeah, that's blowing things up for people who've become accustomed to a certain way, right?
Yeah,
now who are they supposed to oppose?
Right. So anyway.
But yeah. You in 1984, low amateur in the Masters and U.S. Open. Wow. What was it like playing in the Masters and being low amateur?
Oh, it was fabulous. And actually that year that I was low amateur was, I was able to play in the Masters the year prior. And without as much success, I missed the cut by a shot. So I played in the Masters twice as an amateur. So that second year, I was actually an effective veteran to some extent. But no, it's great. Anytime you're on the grounds, and especially if you're playing in the Masters, it obviously has a very, very unique and special atmosphere, environment, and that sort of thing. So I've got, you know, I am a senior now, and I have memory lapses, but I've got pretty clear recollections of that experience. It was
very
special.
Yeah, Craig, we know about senior lapses, but I understand that it's not the distant memories. The distant memories you keep. It's the short-term ones that go.
Yeah, I had memory lapses a long time ago.
Or it might be that we just use that as if those are convenient excuses. So,
honey, I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just like to say, though, BYU isn't that bad because Norm Chow used to be there, so it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
Norm Chow took over as our head coach at the University of Hawaii, so we're all thrilled, right?
Yeah, he had that offense dialed up when I was there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to ask you something. You got a career in business management, a degree in business management, and you made it into a career, Innovative Sports Ventures, advisory board member. You've been managing the business affairs of golfers on the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the Nationwide Tour. You're a complete game coach. I mean, you are a broad spectrum gentleman. But have you ever done this? Have you ever taken, let's say, what was your best year on tour? Was it 94 when you made over $500,000?
Yeah, right.
Have you ever figured out post 94 when the purses like went into the stratosphere? Have you figured out how much that would have been if there were today's purses?
No. I know. I thought about doing it, but it's a horrible emotional mental spiral that I would. And at the time, though, wow, you know, I played in tournaments that were $1 million purses, and when I started, they were $400,000 and $500,000 purses, total purses. So, you know, I mean, it, you know, at the time, I thought I was benefiting from all the growth and the, you know, all of that. And then, of course, now it's just gone crazy. And, you know, really, you know, players, that was a lot of money back then, but guys were not getting, you know, wealthy to where, you know, at the age of 30, they step away and they never need to make another dime, you know. And so it's changed now, you know, that there's so much money in the sport. And I think it's great because it's much more competitive than when I played. There's a lot more depth talent-wise. So it's harder to get to the top. But, boy, the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow is, you know,
really something. Really something. It's fascinating to watch the young men, and we do, the golf is in good hands with the youngsters, so to speak.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And there's, you know, there's plenty of personalities. You don't have to spend too much time digging to expose them. And, you know, you've got, you know, guys with flair and flash, and you've got, you know, a lot of the, there's still quite a few of the veteran guys that have been around a long time that are still competitive. And you've got Tiger lurking, you know, everybody wondering, is he going to be the same again or contend and win majors? And so there's still plenty of good story out there. And I think that when people see the golf firsthand, you know, I think that they gain an appreciation, you know, even greater than what they see on television.
And we've got Vijay Singh, who could be joining the Champions Tour, I don't know, in 6 months.
Yeah, I need to hurry, don't I? And try to make some money before he shows up. Exactly.
You're good.
He's been a great player for many years, and there's been no hiccup. And gosh, he's playing fabulous now. And you know, hopefully he'll choose to play, you know, the Champions Tour, certainly at least a number of events, because he'd be great for that product. And you know, everybody wins when he and of course Freddie and all those guys are playing on a regular basis.
Yeah. So you're gonna play on a regular basis with all of the other businesses that you're running and doing?
Well, you know, that list, it was like, okay, you, number one, whether it be you or your staff, have done great research and homework.
That would be me.
I'm okay with you, good. And I'm a one person operation myself, my businesses, and so I get it. Some of those things I'm not currently doing. Because of the Champions Tour, I've intentionally phasing out of the player agent sports management business. I'm doing some consulting work with a couple of companies, trying to get a couple of companies launched. And the Complete Game Coach, that's something that I was launching into, but never got too far down the road with. So my life is a little simpler than
how I described it,
Well, part of it too is there's a lot more money, a lot more fun in Champions Tour golf than any of those other things.
Bravo!
Yeah.
Bravo! I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I would rather be flying around the country and the world playing on the Champions Tour with these great guys that you're playing with, and the wonderful disposition everybody has when they're playing. I mean, you guys, it's like getting together and then, you know, you talk with your sticks on the course, of course.
Right.
Right? But it's relaxed. And that's why the fans love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to jumping into the middle of that mix. And I've, you know, over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, I've gained a great appreciation for those who work for a living. I became one of those. And then, and also a great appreciation for how fabulous of a blessing it is to be able to play golf and make money. And so I'm looking forward to getting back to that.
Right, beautiful on.
Yeah.
what I loved about you have your heroes, you know, your favorite courses, Pebble Beach, Chehalis, and Bandon Dunes. Heroes Martin Luther King Jr., Bono, and Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I'm the first hippie to play the champion.
Yeah. Well, then I'll be following you, sir.
Yeah.
And I'll play you, too, in the background.
Yeah.
Rick Furr, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Aloha. We'll see you at the Champion Store. We're going to give away tickets now to the new Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. It's this coming week, and you can win your ticket. All you have to do is call 808-296-5467. It's simple. 808-296-5467. Call right now. We're talking with Craig Sasada. Craig, can we take a commercial break and come back?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely great. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoepu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome in the clubhouse, Craig Sasada, Poipu Bay Golf Course, where the Grand Slam was played, and the Grand Slam is coming up in October, and Keegan Bradley is going to be the defending champion. That's kind of unusual, doesn't happen frequently. Congratulations, Christina of Hilo. She is going to be going to the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. One day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get to pick up your ticket. Are you getting to go, Craig? Are you coming to Oahu for this?
No, unfortunately I can't, but I am looking forward to watching it on TV, that's for sure.
Isn't that going to be fun? You're sometimes watching on television, you know, has its advantages.
Yeah, you don't have to fight the crowds there, you know. And you get to see the replay.
Let me see that one more time. But this is an amazing field, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I mean, they got all the top players coming, and obviously including Greg Norman, since, you know, that's part of, I guess, he's with the company, or...
Yeah, well, I don't know if Greg Norman's with the company, but he certainly does a lot of support for people.
So,
you know,
his
company may have something to do with the company, and they're, you know, company helping company.
Yeah, that alone is a good draw already, having Norman there.
Yes,
so,
I was wondering, is Fred Couples or Greg Norman the bigger draw?
Well, you know, Freddie's always going to be a draw. He plays, you know, most of the time, but Greg Norman hardly ever plays. So, you know, and the people don't get to see him too much nowadays. So I think, you know, they come out to watch him, too.
Yeah, you're right. When I was in Palm Springs for the Humana Challenge, Greg Norman was there. And there's something about the way he walks. And when he locks his, you know, I was in the media center, and I asked a question. That took nerve. Danielle's a little bit more shy in person. and he looks at you with those blue eyes. You know, the shark, you really feel it, you know? It's like you're just the zone.
Well, you know, he was the number one player in the world for until Tiger broke his record, so...
Uh-huh.
You know, like forever almost.
And you can see why, you know, he could psych a person out. And it was interesting. I was talking with Dr. Deborah Cruz earlier about, you know, choking, and one of his major chokes in his career sparked one of her research articles and her laboratory work to find out what causes that. You know, what is it about choking? It was interesting to find out that people who are in stressful situations in their work life, having to deal with, you know, things that are happening rapidly, let's say I grab firefighter because I can't think of much more stressful than that, they are less likely to choke than someone who doesn't have that kind of pressure in their life.
Well, I guess the thing would be it happens so often that they think it's a norm, I guess. Right?
The brain gets out of the way. You go into automatic mode. You stop thinking. And it's so simple to say that. Every mental coach that I've had on the show has said, well, you got to stop thinking. The reason I sound like I know everything about this is because I've heard it so many times. It's the same mantra. Get your mind out of the mix. Get your frontal cortex out of the mix. You know, and we know that happens. When I start thinking about what I'm doing on this program, you know, where I have to go next, that's when I make mistakes. You hear Danielle making a mistake, it's because she's thinking.
Well, but I think that, you know, even for somebody like you who does this so often, it becomes second nature to you. So, you know, mistakes are rare and far in between. But
oh, I got one right here. Let me take care of a mistake I made about 20 minutes ago. Real quick, I can redo this one, fortunately. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. See, now, if I had just had faith that everything was going to work out, I just would have done it, and I would have gone along. I wouldn't have thought. But no, I started stressing out. So, oh, my. So we're watching, speaking of stressing out, I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. She's near and dear to our hearts, and I think that she's going to come on strong next year, that she's just going through a period of time where she's going to have to find herself. And it happened for Tiger. Look at where he is now. We didn't think that would happen. We wrote him off. Maybe not all of us. I think Michelle Wee is going to have a good year next year. And I really hope she does. But this year, I've been watching her putting. And having all those experiences of missing, that's something you don't want to have that in your tool chest.
I just think she's not having fun anymore out there. So it's so mechanical. If you watch her, everything is 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, she has to be in certain positions all the time, and it's not what she used to do when she first came out, when she just teed it up, swung the club, putt the ball.
Yeah. I mean, even though people say, well, she always was a very good putter, she spent hours practicing when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know that she's doing that kind of work. Don't know that she wants to put in that kind of work. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think she just, it kind of... It reminds me of what happened. I don't know if it's the same scenario, but it's like what Bobby Clampett went through. You know, how great he was supposed to be, and he got in so technical, and he kind of just never rose to what his expectations were. Because remember the time when he was leading the British Open by a mile in 1 year? And then he ended up shooting 77, 78 over the last two rounds, and that kind of...
That ended him.
Yeah, that kind of did it. But if you watch him play now on the Champions Tour, you know, it looks like he's having probably more fun. And, you know, he probably doesn't play all that much, but his game, you look at the scores that he shoots, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he is good. They're all good, you know. They're just, I mean, they're shooting 62s and 63s. Right. And my question, I was looking at the European Tour this morning on television. I was watching the women play, I'm watching the men play, and I'm asking myself, is the course set up, now you would know this, is the course set up, are they making it easier for these guys to score so it looks so good on television? Or are they getting so good, these players, that they can just beat the course?
Well, I think it's probably both of those things, but at the same token, the conditions will make a difference, meaning like in this BMW.
Yeah.
There, it's wet right now, so the fairways for them are wider. But, you know, wet, and then amateurs or like myself, when we play, when it's wet, all we think about, man, it's too long now. But for these touring players, when it's wet, the fairways become like 20 yards wider. And, you know, so it's great for them, and they can fire darts.
Yeah, they're playing darts, aren't they?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it depends on the condition of the golf course as far as what the weather is bringing in. And, you know, if the BMW is playing hard and fast, obviously you wouldn't see these scores.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's nice and soft for them, so they're killing it right now.
So it's Mother Nature.
I think so, it has to do a lot with that, for sure.
Okay. Oh, I'm watching these scores. I mean, get lower every, you know, over 15 years of doing this, you know, it's like, what? 64, 64, 62.
Well, plus, remember now, it's live, clean, and place for 3 days in a row, too.
Yes, but the women are shooting pretty good, too. Is it really, I mean, you know, G.A. Shin had a 62 yesterday, and great Christina Kim had a 66, and I thought Munoz had a 65, I think it was.
Yeah, but G.A. Shin can hit 7 woods like a wedge.
Yes, she's powerful, isn't she? And now, what are your thoughts on the Korean players coming out so strong versus the U.S. players?
I think it's just the discipline they put into the game, and it starts obviously from when they're very young, and the programs that they go through, and they're just probably more disciplined than what they do to lead up to where they are now. They're more regimented as far as their practices and when they're going to do it. They don't miss a practice or, you know, they listen to the coach. And, you know, they're not out, whatever, like regular teenagers, I guess. But, you know, they're just...
So they give up their life
they
can be golfers.
You know, I think they do at some point for a little while anyway until they become an adult and they can do what they want to do. But I think from the time they're in junior golf, they're... Everything's pretty regimented, and it's all dictated by what is on a schedule.
Wow. Well, that makes sense to me. Absolutely. And, you know, then they can go crazy when they're in their 20s and they're making gazillion dollars.
Right.
I don't know. You know, it seems a shame. But then again, we're putting what we think is right on their standards of are what is right. And so to each his own and what it works for them. And here's Paula Creamer. Paula Creamer has had a dry spell for a long time, and she's at the top of the leaderboard. And I hope she continues because it's a four-day event. This isn't a three-day shoot 'em up, bang, bang. This is 65, 67 for her, and she's 15 under par, and she's in the lead, and I hope she wins. You know, there were a lot of expectations on Paula, too, when she came out that she was going to be. And now Lexi's got that and all these expectations. I think we should just put them in a drawer and let these kids play. So we've got Fred Couples, Greg Norman, Corey Pava, Nick Price. David Ishii's playing.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Bernard Langer, Gary McCord is coming over with his mustache. Tom Lehman.
He's a very good player, though.
Yes, he is. And Hale Irwin. You know, we used to call him our local player.
The ageless one.
The ageless wonder. And Craig Stadler. And on the Hawaii qualifiers Monday on September 10th. And so that's what we got. We've got this fabulous event, the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. And that's next week. And gosh golly gee, I wish you'd come over and we could sit down together and do the show together. That would be fun, Craig.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it sometime, okay?
Okay, that's for sure.
All right. So in the meantime, I guess I have to wrap this show up now. We've run out of time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Craig. And thank you for making the golf club possible. Alakai Mechanical, number one for your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Alakai Mechanical, you got to have your air conditioning, right? Top efficiency. And the only way you get top efficiency is if you get the right service from Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection for property threat, risk assessment, protection for your home, your business, for your concerts, any special event you've got going on. Star Protection. Get them on your property. and Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., one of his children on Kauai, bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Thank you for listening to the Golf Club. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.